Hey, friend! Welcome to Perspectives into Practice, a place where life's stories meet practical wisdom. Together, we'll explore how faith-filled perspectives can transform the way we live, love, and grow. So grab a seat, settle in, and join us on this journey to turn inspiration into action. Let's dive in. Friend, welcome back to Perspectives into Practice. Have you ever made a plan for your day, your year, or even your life only to find that everything has changed? It can be so frustrating when life doesn't go the way that we've expected, but sometimes those interruptions become the very place where God teaches us to trust Him the most. Today's conversation is such a beautiful reminder that God isn't trying to disrupt our lives to make things harder. He's lovingly inviting us to trust His plans that are always better than our own. I'm so excited for you to meet my friend Dawn. Through years of unexpected changes and seasons that she never would have chosen, God has been faithfully teaching her what it really means to trust Him one day at a time. Welcome, Dawn. I'm so glad that you're here.
Thank you, Jessica. I am very privileged to be able to do this. I am. And I feel like this is a God thing.
Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely it is. It is. And we're going to have a wonderful time today. But before we dive into our topic, y'all know I love a good fun fact. And Dawn, you grew up in the same house your entire childhood. And then after you got married, you lived in 21 different homes in just under 40 years, which is absolutely amazing. So My question is, what was the hardest part about moving so often and what ended up actually being a blessing in disguise?
Hardest part about moving so often was just the logistics. That was awful. just changing doctors, changing schools, changing, again, just moving into a house that had different measurements for your curtains. All those things.
Oh my gosh.
It was a financial burden. When we moved overseas, sometimes they would have washer and dryers. Other times they would not. And so the hardest part would have been financial.
Yeah.
Things that you did not anticipate. The biggest blessing in disguise. You know, there were certain places that we lived that I thought would be more enjoyable to live.
Yeah.
But they were not. And then there were certain places that we lived that I kind of was like, eh. And then they ended up being good places to live. One of the biggest ones was Hawaii. I was going through a lot of trials and, I mean, really, really big trials. And God let us move to Hawaii. And I tell you what, Jessica, that place is as good as the reputation that you hear about. I fell for the whole Aloha Paradise thing, and it is. You can smell the florals. You can smell. There's just, and the music, they have their own Hawaii music and the luau. I fell for it all, and it was as good as that. What you think that it's going to be. You see rainbows in the sky. That was a really good time for me in the sense we were living in Alabama before then, and I was going through a lot of trials, and he moved us to Hawaii for three and a half years. And I have to say it was paradise, and it was something that I needed, that he was good to me. He knew I needed that. And Hawaii, that was a great assignment.
I love that. I would love to. That's one of the places that neither my husband or I have been. So we can't wait to get to Hawaii. We will not be taking our bus. For those of you that are asking, we're not bringing the bus.
I actually had a woman ask me if we're driving to Hawaii. No. I said, honey, you cannot drive to Hawaii.
No, maybe one day Elon Musk will do some like underwater tunnels or something.
I had a good laugh about that. Is he up and drive?
No. Isn't it so interesting that God uses our unexpected places, these places that we didn't even know that we would ever be, to really teach us some of our greatest lessons and allow us to rest in what we are going through. He's so intentional and perfect. But that also, mm-hmm. I love that you shared that, because that also goes exactly to what we're talking about today, which is learning to trust him even when our life doesn't go according to our plans. And so
yes.
You said that God has been teaching you to trust him and to lean into the interruptions instead of resisting them, which I think is such a powerful thing to learn. So when did you first begin to realize that his plans were actually different than your own?
Oh, wow. Okay. So in 2018, I really got to the end of myself. I grew up in a home and an environment that it was very controlling. It was very judgmental. It was very condemning, I have to say. It was very pharisaical. That was how I viewed God. And there was a point in 2018 that I got to the end of myself and I said, I don't know what to do. I cannot control these situations. And it was through the verse that said, it's his kindness. God's kindness is intended to lead us to repentance. Yeah. And I trusted that. I thought, okay, that and Psalm 34:18 says, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
Blessed are you when you take refuge in him. And I said, I got to that point. We were actually out in Las Vegas, of all places. That's where I had my repentance moment. Mm-hmm. And I said, I'm at the end of myself. Mike is about to, my husband, he's about to deploy to the UAE. I feel like, you know, I tried to take control of my life and I cannot control this. I had had a LASIK surgery that went really bad and I couldn't see. And I said, I don't know how he's about to leave. And I don't know how to live this life without being able to see.
Yeah.
And he said, trust me. And it was just a priority shift, Jessica. I looked to God as he was my last resort. I do believe that I trusted him as my savior when I was young, but my value system consisted of God helps those who help themselves. That's how I lived my life and my values, that I would call on him in an emergency. That was an emergency, but it was basically a priority shift. I felt like God said, just don't try to make things happen your way. Just call on me, put me first. It was just a slight priority shift. And that's what happened out in 2018. And I can tell you right now that that's how I've lived my life ever since, is just that slight priority shift, is don't try to do everything your way and then call on God when it's an emergency. But say, Lord, you direct my paths. You let your Holy Spirit guide me in all of this, and I will fall into what your will is. And that's what I did. And ever since then, my whole life has changed immensely. My whole perspective, how I view trials in life. And it's just that slight perspective change is not, you know, when I call on him in emergency, but to cultivate a relationship with him. Yeah. Which I did in 2018. I said, okay, I'm going to trust you in this. Even though, you know, my values before then was just kind of Christian values, but I never had a relationship with him. And I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to taste and see. And let me just tell you, he has changed my perspective in life, my perspective approaching the future, everything in life. I just cannot believe how deceived I was before.
And it's a slippery slope too.
Yes. So I just, when you asked about what are we learning in this season of life, I have four things that I'm learning that I said, okay, what have I learned when I look back? Because I feel like when I listen to testimonies about how God's changed your life, there's so many, and they're great. They're so good and so encouraging how it's an overnight change. Yeah. And I love that. And those are great. I feel like mostly God works the way he works in trees and plants and flowers. Yeah. It's not overnight. He transforms us, and we have to grow and be willing to lean into that. And I look back at 2018, I am living in the peace that he promises in Philippians. Ever since then, I look back and I just see how the unexpected thing that I really did not anticipate is the joy that I am experiencing in this season of my life. The Christian adults that were in my life that raised me or that were influences in my life, they lived very hypocritical lives and they showed that in the way I was raised. There were a lot of hurts in my life. And again, it was magnified because they were Christians and they had Christian positions in life. And I took that out on the Lord. I thought I didn't trust him. I didn't love him. I had a bad view of the Lord. And if I didn't trust him, I wondered if he even existed. It would vacillate between, do I trust him or do I even think he exists? And he showed me and taste and see the Lord is good. And I look at this season in my life and how he is working. I didn't realize how he worked in my mental health in this area. How I used to view life. I was so depressed my whole life. And I was always angry at God and life and people. And how I look back and I think, wow, he is the answer to our mental health. Yeah. And how, you know, there's that verse, what is it? Philippians 4:6-18. I think that's the verse references where it says, give thanks in everything. Mm. Even if you don't understand, give thanks. And the peace of God, the shalom of God, will be with you. And think about these things. This was in the past. You know, the way I grew up, it was a judgmental, it was a condemnation environment. And I think these verses are for our mental health. He says the peace of God. And think about these things, by the way. Love, joy, peace, things that patience, are of good report. Yes. These are the things to dwell on. And I realize these are not just commandments. You better think about these things. These are things that he's saying, if you're broken, I can help you in these things. And to think about these things, take captive those thoughts. And that's what I have learned unexpectedly in this season, that I realize how much God loves me and his commandments are for our good and his commandments are for us to live out the life that he has for us, that he created us for. Yeah. And it's not for judgment. It's for it's to help us be the person that he created us to be. And no, he knows if we try to control the things that happen in our life, we're going to fail. But if we commit everything to him, he promises and he does, he fulfills that he will help us through those things and he will help us change our perspective and see the truth of life. That's another thing is I thought I was living in truth and I was not. And I see truth now and I'm just so thankful that his love has brought me to where we are today. And there are four things. There are four things you told me, you know, what is God working on in this season of your life? And I thought, okay, what is it? What have I learned as opposed to before? And I learned, number one, to do more waiting on God, to wait on him, to pray instead of worrying and instead of trying to figure out, how am I going to work this out? And instead of trying to be in control, to just listen to his voice. And I was on the phone with my older sister today. And I thought, I was telling her, I said, you know, before I just remember thinking, how am I going to work these things out? And how I always wanted to take control, basically because the way I was raised, I never felt like I was in control. So, you know, the world's way is you take control, you know, you're a boss woman. But 3 years, he has taught me to wait on him, to pray instead of worrying, to not move until I get the prompt or the nudge. And that has, I don't want to say it's been difficult because there's a peace that comes with that, but it is something that you have to use your self-discipline for to say, no, I'm going to wait because before I used to always try to control every situation. And when mm-hmm. I would do that, there would be certain situations where I didn't do it gracefully.
Yeah. Yeah.
The first thing I felt like he's showing me this season is to do more waiting on him. The second thing I feel like he says to lean into the interruptions as his redirection mm-hmm. in life, yeah. which again, in my natural fleshly state is mm-hmm. not something that comes gracefully to me.
Yeah.
Before his interruptions, especially in the military life where you can't talk to the boss man, it's just the government.
Yes.
I would be so angry at the way they would handle things. And
yeah.
And I would flail thinking, how can I control this situation?
Right.
And now with interruptions, I look at it as, okay, I'm giving my day to the Lord, but in his interruptions, that's God saying, I'm putting you on the right path. Yeah. There's that one verse that says a person commits their ways unto the Lord, but God directs their paths.
Yes.
And I do feel that it is important to write a list and it is important to be intentional. But when there are interruptions in life, which there are plenty out here,
plenty
at this
yes.
camp that we work at, that this is God's way of saying, no, I'm course correcting.
Yeah.
And these are the opportunities for growth for you. Mm-hmm. All the things that I am learning in my devotional time and in my
yeah.
quiet time with the Lord about the fruit of the Spirit and about growing in Him. It's when these interruptions come, it's like putting them into practice and mm-hmm. saying, okay, I can look at them with resentment. I can look at them with anger. I can look at them with trying to control it. Or I can look at interruptions as this is God course correcting, and this is where growth takes place, putting into practice what yeah. I am learning in my quiet time with Him. And yeah. When I look at it from that perspective, I see it as a divine thing that's going mm-hmm. on.
Yeah.
And, you know, Ephesians 6, talking about we don't wrestle with flesh and blood. It's so right. true. This is God's battle with the supernatural. And I'm
yes.
thinking the same things take place that happened when I was not close to God. But
right.
now it's all in my response. How yeah. am I going to respond to these things that are interrupting mm. our lives? And how will it glorify Him? And that's pretty much what He is teaching me this season, is how I can lean into that. Pray, give it to Him, because interruptions are always like, oh, what are we going to do?
Yeah.
But pray, lean into it and ask God, what are you trying to teach me through mm-hmm. this, and help me to respond the way you want me to? And every yeah. time He comes through, and I'm just amazed at the peace,
yeah.
the shalom that comes with that.
Yeah.
And so that's another big one, the interruptions. Thirdly, I feel like He is teaching me to continue to be willing to grow. I'm 62. Mm. It's so easy to say, well, this is who I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people give people a pass for that. And I've seen that with
yes.
with elderly people in my life. They have no filter. And I'm like, yeah. woo. Okay, yeah. this is who you are. But do we really want to stay there? Do we want to lean into this is who I am? Or do you want to say, no, God mm-hmm. on the outside, yeah, we are wasting away. But on the inside, He is transforming us as if we were newly born.
Yeah.
And lean into saying, no, I am not going to settle for this is who I am. I am willing to grow. And that's what I'm learning this season of my life, that especially with other people, that when other people disappoint me or aggravate me,
yeah.
I'm like, okay, I've gotten to where I address the Lord as things that are in Hebrew. I say, Adonai,
yes.
you know, help me to be salt and light in this person's
yeah.
life. I don't understand why they're being like this, but help me to take the salt and light approach, where I can respond the way you respond, Jesus or Yeshua, and
yeah.
be the person you are creating me to be, which is a stretch. but it's a good stretch. That's the thing about with our Heavenly Father is, even though we are wasting away on the outside, even though I'm 62, He is transforming me. This is who He created us to be. And when we say, "You take over, Adonai, you take over, Lord," it's amazing how you look and you're like, wow, I am seeing how I would have responded before. In the past, I would have responded this way. I would have been angry. I would have been resentful. But because I give these emotions and I give these feelings, even if I feel like a victim at times, if I'm giving them to you, you are helping me to see the perspective that I need to take. And I guess I'm just realizing in this period of our lives, you know, God's just not out to give us commandments in life. He's giving us these things to show us, this is how you can live the life that I have created you to live. I'm not out to be mean. I'm just out to help you be your best self. And that's what I'm realizing. And that through His Holy Spirit, He really changes our perspective and how we look at life. Instead of feeling like a victim or how people have done me wrong, is realizing, well, those people were human too. And we don't have to live in that brokenness. God, part of His dying on the cross, took away that feeling of feeling broken. And we can live in the verse where it says He's close to the brokenhearted. He knows. And that's what He took on the cross too. Those are the things I'm realizing. And then the fourth thing that I thought, okay, what am I realizing in this season is when I'm discontent or getting in my head, which that happens. I mean, that's natural when somebody mistreats us or things don't go the way we want them to. We become very into self-pity mode. And the Lord has shown me to take captive those thoughts and to know that, yes, this is a natural inclination of the world, but we don't have to live in that brokenness. And we can take captive those thoughts and reprioritize that if we are living for the Lord's will and speaking those verses aloud. For example, I guess the things I struggle with the most is God's disapproval of me. I feel like He disapproves of me so often. And honestly, I hear it sometimes in my mom's voice where she's annoyed with me, or I'll hear it with my dad's voice where he was a preacher. And I'm like, wow, that's the stuff I really struggle with. But I have to go back to the verses where no matter, our feelings are not facts. And the verses, God says He is love. So whatever I'm feeling, that's not who God is. And that's what I can rely on. And that's what our faith asks us to do, is to rely on verses. Don't rely on our feelings. Don't rely on how we're envisioning God. Rely on His verses. And if He says He is love, then He is not out to get me. He's not out to be manipulative. Yeah. He is for me. He is for me to succeed. He is not against me to succeed. And those are the things that we have to prioritize when we take captive those thoughts, is that no matter what our emotions, no matter what our feelings are telling us, go back to the verses that tell us who God says He is and rely on those things and know that He wants us to succeed in Him. And we are victorious. We don't have to live in victim mode. And I guess that's one of the big things that I have realize is that we do not have to live in victim mode. He took that stuff on the cross too, that whatever people did to sin against us, we don't have to live in that. We don't have to live in that brokenness. He says He's close to the brokenhearted, and that we can live victoriously and not as victims, and rise above whatever victim circumstances we found or oppressor circumstances we found ourselves in.
Yeah.
That He's there for us. I mean, I guess I just realized that it's not about just He's commanding us. It's about His ways in the Bible are showing us this is the ideal. This is how He wants us to live, in that freedom, and that His commandments were a gift because we didn't know what's right, what's wrong. Those are gifts to us to be able to have a baseline. And then everything, when He came in the New Testament to say, hey, you know, we can live victoriously in the Holy Spirit. And these things are mental. They're actually mental health things that will help us to not get caught up in that victim, that victimization that, you know, God is against me. That's the big lie that Satan wanted to tell me. And through his Holy Spirit, he's saying, no, I'm not against you. I'm here to help you through these hurts that you went through. And he really, really has shown himself faithful to that.
Yeah.
I have to say, my whole life, Jessica, I was depressed. I went to therapy. I was taking the prescribed stuff from that my psychiatrist prescribed through 2018. And now it wasn't, again, I didn't expect this, but I look back to 2018 and I think, I have felt so much joy. I have not been depressed ever since because I realize that he is for the brokenhearted and he's for those who have experienced transgressions against them, just like Mary and Mary Magdalene. And he's for those people. He's not against us. And the thing is, he meets us where we are. It's not my transformation has not been overnight. It has been very, very merciful and very grace-filled where I feel weak. And he's like, it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm meeting you here where you are. And we will work through this together. He meets, even if you look in the Old Testament, he meets people where they are. And they can be really dysfunctional and messed up. But he meets them where they are. And he promises to be on that journey alongside of them. And that's what I've discovered this season about his goodness.
Yeah.
I grew up not thinking he was good. I just always felt like I lived under his condemnation. And I just have seen in this season of life where he said, taste and see. And he has, he's been so faithful. He's been so good to me. And not that I'm not experiencing trials, but the peace.
Yeah.
And the perspective that he's given me as opposed to before, I'm just amazed at how I was deceived before and how I'm living in truth now. Yeah. Because it's all about saying, God, let your will be done. I want to lean into your lordship, not saying if I need you in an emergency, but you are leading my day every day. You are my shepherd. Lead me in your will. And that he has been faithful. He has been so faithful. I guess if I have any regret, it's like, why didn't I see this before?
Oh, yeah. Well, I think sometimes it takes looking back at all that God has done for us and all that he has led us to and where he's placed us now to see more of God's heart. And it becomes easier to trust his hands when we look back and we see that, because like you said, healing doesn't happen overnight. It's when we're faithfully walking with the Lord every single step. And you mentioned how, you know, you starting your relationship with the Lord, because sometimes trusting God grows quietly over time. It's a slow growth, but trust isn't something that we just believe. It's something that we have to practice every single day. And one day of trust eventually becomes a lifetime of faithfulness, because God's plans often stretch us in ways that begin to strengthen us and lead us to that next season. And so in that vein, for someone who is struggling to trust God in their unexpected season, what encouragement do you have for them today?
I would say, trust him. Don't go with your inclination as far as thinking what you have experienced in the past and what you have experienced with other people, because that's how it was with me. I was really, again, I told you, I was either mad at God or I even thought, this even exists because of things that had taken place. And I got to that point where I was really at the end of myself and thought, I don't even know how I can drive anymore. You know, he almost gave me a vision of if I had a stroke, I am so out of control of my life.
Yeah.
And how, who am I to think that I'm in control? And he, that verse, taste and see, it was like, just change your priority.
Yeah.
Don't call on me when you're in an emergency. When you wake up in the morning, say, Lord, I say, Adonai, I am going to listen to your voice. You direct this day.
Yeah.
You are my shepherd. Guide me. And that's, man, the changes that take place there. And when you lean into that and again, not get panicky or feel like God is not listening to you when the interruptions take place or when something doesn't go the way we want it, but to just lean in and pray. Say, Lord, I don't know what's going on. Help me to respond the way you want me to respond. Help me to see things the way you want me to see them. And oh my goodness, it's just amazing how he will show you truth that you think you have. I thought I had truth before then. And I look back and I'm like, I had no idea what truth was.
Yeah.
And he will do it lovingly. He's not going to do it in a way that makes you feel ashamed. He really won't.
Yeah, he's gentle.
I listened to Lisa Turkhurst, it's a proverb series on a podcast. And they talk about, you know, how about God and how he reveals himself to us. And then the first sin with Adam and Eve and shame. They say that shame is, there's an acronym. Shame is self-hatred at my expense. And I thought, oh my gosh, I lived in that my whole life. And God does not want me to live like that because of the things that happened to me or the things that I think I can't get over. Or we can still live in humility. We don't have to live in pride, but we can live in humility and be willing to grow into what it is he's wanting to teach us. And I find that he's faithful to teach us one thing at a time. Yeah. Like, I want to work on this area with you. Yeah. And I'm like, ooh, I have a problem with this. Yeah. And then he'll move on to another area when when he knows that, okay, you're realizing this. And so let's move on to he is so gracious and so merciful. We don't have to live in this overwhelming, like, ugh, you know, I have totally gotten it wrong this whole time.
Yeah.
And if we just, again, in Matthew, where he reassures us that, you know, the evil is sufficient to the day, like only live in this day. And it's so true. If we live ahead of ourselves, we'll get so defeated and so discouraged. But he wants us to live in the day, and he will work in the day. And, you know, a lot of the times things overlap, you know, but just live in that day and don't look too far ahead. Even 20 minutes ahead sometimes can be too much. But just live in that moment and lean into what God is teaching us. And know that when he's teaching us, when we are growing, it's not to condemn us. It is because he wants us to be, he's excited for us to be the person that he's created us to be. And to grow into that and know that if we're here any day on earth, that's a day that he says, I don't want to take you home to heaven because you still have influence here on this earth.
Right.
So lean into that. And know that, again, in John 3, he says, I'm not here to condemn. I am here to be your redeemer and to help you through these hard times in life. And that's what I have found is how good he is. Even though when I was growing up, I equated his character with the character of the people in my life. And, you know, there are some things that I still don't have the answers for in life that I'm like, why did you let this happen? Or why did... And I won't have the answers until we get to heaven and see him face to face. But things that reassure me, I'm like, okay, well, I don't know how the wavelengths work with television, but I trust that they work because we watch TV.
Right.
There are things we do not understand in life, but that doesn't mean they're not true and they're not good. And so there are things that, God has not answered certain things that I've had in my life about why I had to go through certain things. But I know that his ways are higher and he's God and I'm not. And that just because I don't understand the answers does not mean that whatever situation he placed me in was not for the gospel's sake. Yeah. I guess there's a verse that says things that we go through is for the sake of the gospel. And I think, okay, if that's what I went through for the sake of the gospel to comfort others, I have to accept that for here now that I'm here on earth. And everything will make sense when I get to heaven. But in my finite brain and my finite mind, I don't understand. But I have to go back to scripture where he says, he is love. And this is what love looks like. Not what I think love looks like, but 1 Corinthians 13 is what love looks like. And lean into that, even when I don't have all the answers.
Yes. Beautifully said. Beautifully said. Dawn, thank you so much for being here today and for sharing your heart with us and sharing your season. And I love that it reminds us that even when life feels uncertain, that God never is, no matter what we're going through, and that we really can trust him with every interruption, every unexplained turn, every season that we don't understand. So before we wrap up, I have one last question that I ask every guest on the podcast, and that is, what is one perspective that you would encourage listeners to apply today?
That one perspective is to lean into the interruptions in life as growth opportunities, to put into practice and evaluate what we're learning in our private time with him, because I see that a lot out here at the camp where we live, where we work. We plan our day and there's so many interruptions. And when I say interruptions, most 99% of the time they're negative. But I think, Adonai, this too is from you. What do you want me to learn from this? And how do you want me to respond? And to put into practice things that we are trying, you know, when we have our private time with God and how we're trying to grow and lean into the things he has for us. This is when it's time to put that perspective into practice. And so I guess that would be it, is in the interruptions in life, is to lean into them as opportunities for God to do the biggest growth in our lives. You know, this is it in practice. And how are we going to respond? How are we going to view what these interruptions are? And it really, I have seen so many times when things have been like, woo, I'm like, God, help us. Show me what are you trying to teach me here? And the peace that comes over when I pray that, and how he helps me see that it's, again, it's not flesh and blood.
Right.
These are the things in the atmosphere, the supernatural things that are trying to interfere, and to lean into it and take the road, the high road that God has for us in our morning devotions. Like, okay, I'm going to, you know, these are things I need to learn to put those things into practice. And along with the armor of God, and to realize that, wow, the things we can learn from that and the peace we can have from that has just really shown me, you know, the peace that passes all understanding. I can't explain it, but it's true. He shows me things I would never have thought about before, and that I don't need to panic, and that he is still in control. Yeah, even if always. It's not what I wrote down on my to-do list, that he is
even
course,
when
he's course correcting and saying, okay, this is what, you know, you've planned your ways, but this is what I have for you. And don't doubt that I'm in control, and just lean into it. And he has not failed me yet. Not at all.
No. I love that when we keep following him, our perspective changes, and that every journey with God, every new season, it leaves us with the truth that we can carry forward into our next season, but we have to be willing. We have to be willing to ask those questions and lean in. So good. So good. Thank you, Dawn, again, for being here. It really has just been a blessing for you to be here and to share your story.
Well, thank you, Jessica.
Friends, I hope that today's conversation reminded you that God's plans are always good, even when they look different from the ones that we had in mind. If this episode encouraged you, would you share it with a friend who needs a little hope today? And if God has been writing a story in your life that would encourage someone, I'd love to invite you to be a guest on the podcast. Reach out to me at perspectivesintopractice.com. I would love to talk to you. And if you're looking for a place to continue growing in your faith alongside other Christian women, I'd love to invite you to join the Story Haven. It's a free online community where women encourage one another, grow in God's word, walk through life together. You can learn more and join us at thestoryhaven.net. And remember, even small shifts in perspective can lead to big changes. Now go put those perspectives into practice. Talk to you next time.